Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back. If you're new to me, my name is Shu Allegra. I'm the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. So everything we do here evolves around resilience. And this year, I'm inviting new friends to the table, kind of have this conversation, learn more about who they are, what they do, learn about their stories of resilience so that we can glean some wisdom from it. So today I have Derek with me. Welcome, Derek. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be on here.
Awesome. So just let us know a little bit of yourself and about yourself, who you are, what you do, and where you're joining us from.
Yeah. So I am Derek Newborn, joining from Fort Myers, Florida. So down southwest Florida. I own Derek Newborn Fitness. I own DerekNewborn.com. I'm a life optimization coach and started strictly in the fitness field, and built my fitness coaching brand up. And then as I was doing that, I went on my own spiritual, emotional, mental transformation, because during the growth of that, I'd also become a full-time fitness model. And during that journey, I found myself getting more and more out of touch with reality and battling extreme depression and ruining relationships with my girlfriend, with my family, et cetera, et cetera. So then as I went on that journey, it led me to seek out some mental health battles, which led to two suicide attempts, led me to severe isolation and withdrawing from society. So I had to go through my own journey on that and go through the process. And once I went through that process, I was able to realize how our mental health and our physical health are so connected. So I started helping people close to me that were struggling in those areas. And now I have a program that is a complete life optimization program. So whether somebody comes to me unhappy with their physical space or their mental space or their emotional space, we kind of unpack it all so they can step back into their true potential.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for sharing that. There's just so much that you shared, you know, in that brief overview of your story. So first I want to touch on kind of how you even got into all of this. So you become a fitness model. People see that as like, that's a highlight, you know, that's probably for some, that's like, you know, the best thing that can do, like, that can happen to them, right, in the industry. It's like, yeah, right, that's a goal that many are pursuing, and many will see their success, right? So you reach that goal, you're top of that mountain, and then on the other side of it, right, the part that people don't see is what's going on internally. So speak on that a little bit, you know, how, first of all, not just in the fitness industry, this, I think, it's just a society in general. You know, and with the increase of social media, everybody shows this beautiful facade of what looks in the outside, right? And internal, there's battles that nobody knows about. Yeah. So how is that from you kind of, you know, even making, I guess, coming to peace or coming to accepting that reality that there was an economy there, you know, it's two different worlds that you're living in. And that happens to all of us, you know, definitely.
Yeah. So 100%. I mean, there before I even got in the fitness world, I used to lay in bed and I would literally dream, man, it must be nice to make a living off fitness, must be nice, you know, just to get paid for people to take pictures of you, whatever. So like you said, I hit those goals. So I was a fitness model, which was amazing. My business was thriving, was amazing. I had an amazing girlfriend and all that looked great, like you said, on the outside, but on the inside, I was still doing so many self-destructive behaviors because I didn't know how to handle previous trauma that I went through. So there was a lot. I would cheat on my girlfriend a lot. I would, you know, just disown my family and isolate myself. So those things didn't feel good on the inside. And then on the outside, I had to portray like everything was great. So that, just that inner battle every single day really, really wears on you.
Definitely.
And like I said, through those self-sabotaging behaviors, eventually everybody around me, you know, said enough's enough with this guy. And that's what led me to severe rock bottom and the, like I said, the suicide attempt. So then I had to look at, why am I in this environment? It's not anything anyone else did. people might have hurt me or said hurtful things to me, but I'm a direct cause of the environment that I'm in. So it really made me look at myself and accept and kind of unpack why I became so narcissistic, essentially. And that led me to go back to, you know, previous traumas way before my girlfriend, way before fitness modeling, way before my fitness business, et cetera, and all that. And once I got to that, I could at least, you know, start looking at myself in the mirror and learning from my past and start sharing it with others so they can avoid the downfalls. So it's really just calling yourself out once you want. You got to hit rock bottom. You know what I mean? If you don't hit rock bottom, you'll always find a reason why you're okay. It's not you, it's them.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the point you make about trauma. So I do a little work about trauma. I'm a trauma survivor myself. And I know personally and professionally that unresolved trauma leads to leaks in every area of your life, relationship, professional, like everywhere, because, you know, it's almost like you're carrying this, you know, this weight, you know, this big, big boulder, if you want, on your back that nobody sees. But every time it's so hard to carry that you fall from the weight of it.
Yeah.
Right. And so whether it's, you know, whether it's like you say with your girlfriend, whether it's, you know, with family members, whether it's at work, you know, unless you resolve it, it's gonna keep, you know, sneaking, you know, it's little ugly head everywhere that you don't want it to. Trauma does that. And like you said, at the end of the day, yes, people did things to us and they shouldn't have done, right? You know, we've been in situations where we've been hurt. That I know we're not condoning that, we're not like saying that's okay, but when you think about it, what has happened to us might not be our fault, might not be a result of any of our own actions, but what we do with it, it's our responsibility.
Do I choose
to get sit in that trauma and let it continue to, you know, wreak havoc in every area of my life, or do I take, you know, responsibility to taking care of myself, seeking the help, you know, the help that I need, so that I can be the best version of myself, and be in doing and being so, every other area of my life also, you know, improves.
Yeah, we can't really control what happens to us. We can only control how we respond, right?
Yes. Yeah. So good. So tell me about a little more about this life activation. I love it. I love like what you said about how, you know, physical health and mental health are all combined. People don't see it that way. We love to put things in compartments, right? This is my work life. This is my romantic life. This is my family life. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, we're complex individuals. Every part of a being, just as, even as, you know, just as human being, every part of being all connected. You think about it that way, then your spiritual, your emotional, your mental, you know, side of yourself, if you want, are all connected to who you are. And there's so many researches out there already proving the impact of physical health on the mental health side of it, and vice versa. You know, if I'm physically well, I would most likely be mentally well. And if I'm mentally well, I'm most likely prioritize my physical health. Mental health is part of health, period. And so you look at it that way, you can't really put into no compartments. It's one, and, you know, it comes together. So anyway, tell me about, you know, about your program. You know, how, you know, what it looks like. And I know, and we can talk more about how people can connect with you, but I think that's something that people are not doing, especially in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
You know, people come to someone like me, you know, for mental health consultations, and we'll talk about that. I say, well, address this physical part of things, you know, but it's good to see that people like you are doing it now from the fitness industry.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're in emotional turmoil, your hormones are going to be in turmoil. So, if you come to me and like, I want to lose weight, we can get that going. But eventually when things aren't going the way you like and your body's kind of resistant, then you have to look at, you know, well, your hormones kind of need to be optimized. And then we start having conversations. You're like, well, I feel, you know, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with a divorce. I'm dealing with heartbreak. I'm dealing with the loss of my parents, whatever it may be. So now you have elevated cortisol levels. So it really doesn't matter, you know, if you are perfect with your diet and perfect with your exercise routine. If you have this grief inside, your body's not going to start releasing fat cells, unnecessary water weight, et cetera, et cetera. So until you face that and you start waking up, you know, and emotionally freeing yourself, then your body's going to start freeing itself from the toxicity inside of it. So it's all very related.
Yeah.
Or if somebody, you know, if somebody is already in shape, then they could, you know, very well go down the route that they get obsessed with their body and they start tuning out all the emotional stuff. And if you go so far one way and tune out that emotional trauma and stuff, it's only a matter of time before, God forbid, you hit rock bottom like I did or something like else. And now you're really isolated. And then you'll realize that the physical stuff doesn't even matter now. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, we become joined at the hip for 90 days and we just kind of reveal your truth to you, who you were before your trauma, whatever that trauma is at whatever age. And then put you on the fast track to just naturally walking in your atmosphere every day and being the person you were designed to be physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I know, I so echo and I agree with everything you said about, you know, when we're, you know, we're dealing with trauma, dealing with grief, dealing with, you know, just, you know, emotional stuff, that yes, your hormone will be out of whack and you can exercise as much as you want, but you'll be plateauing because, you know, internally there's other, you know, other things happening that are just, you know, that needs to be put into balance, right? And I know when I work, I work with some men, but I do a lot of work with women. And when they'll come, well, this is it, this and that's going on. And we start working through kind of how they're seeing themselves, right? You know, from that cognitive behavioral therapy type thing, like reframing stuff and, you know, helping them see things in an objective way, find their strength in it. And even when we're doing that and I see they're still struggling, I say, look, well, you need to, I encourage them that I don't tell people what they have to do, but I, again, through what you said here, how the physical and the mental, you know, and emotional can be so connected. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we have, not sometimes, but when we do have, we do have deficiencies, you know, in a physical body, it impacts on mental health. So a lot of women will have chronic vitamin D deficiency, will have vitamin B12 deficiency, and then wonder why they're depressed. I'm like, because vitamin D helps your brain create the neurochemicals that you need in order to feel good, right? You know, just in general. So if you're deficient, that it's not going to work, you know? So then that's good when it's good to go get to, you know, get that blood work and see where you are. And somebody's going to say, well, I can't get to the doctor into whatever date. And then they'll say, I'm just going to go take the vitamin anyway. It's not going to hurt. And they'll start taking the vitamins and notice a big difference. I say, yeah, it's like nothing has changed. Like I changed the way I see myself. I saw the world, but internally I'm feeling better because I had that deficiency. Women with thyroid issues, that affect your mood. Women who go through chronic illnesses and people, men also, obviously, going through chronic illness will impact your mental health, will impact how you feel internally. So those things we cannot dissociate, you know, separate them from one from another. You have to take care of your whole self.
Yeah. And that looks different for, like, each client has a different path and different steps. So it's, for some people, it's not about changing their diet at this point. It's about spending 10 minutes, like you said, outside, walking and doing some self-care, you know what I mean? That can be equally as huge. So it's a journey for a lot. And also I help a lot of people that come to me with shame from their past of what they've done, and kind of help them, same process, get back to their atmosphere, but help them be able to release it and talk about it and start living again through the same process. Cause I feel like a lot of people with shame don't know where to turn. Like there's a lot of resources out there for people that are the victims of it, but
the shame,
people that actually have done things they're not proud of, it's hard to come by. So we definitely help people in that way as well.
Yeah. But even when you think of it from the psychological standpoint, you know, again, I'm a nerd here. But there's research that proved that when people deal with shame, not only that affects your, you know, affects your self-esteem, but they're more likely to engage in self-destructive behaviors because they see themselves as less than, although they're not. It's like, well, I did this, I did that, or this had happened to me. You know, I'm just a nobody. And you and I know that's not true, but that's how, those are the lies their experiences feed them, you know, And as they start believing those lies, they don't find the strength to, you know, to see bigger, right? To dream bigger, to start getting what we call a self-actualization, like, you know, having bigger dreams and do things, you know, make a bigger impact in the world. They're not there yet because right now they're just seeing themselves like, I don't even belong in this world. Dealing with that, it's so crucial because otherwise it's the drinking, it's the smoking, it's the sleeping around, right? It's the stealing, like all those self, you know, the destructive behavior, not because they want to be that, but because their experiences are telling them that's all they can be.
Yeah.
So unless they deal with the shame, they get stuck in that cycle of just doing things that they're not proud of, which exacerbates the shame factor, right? Shame leads me to feel like I'm not enough. I'm not good enough, so I might as well just do more. But the more I do, the more shameful I feel. And then the more I get wrapped up in that loop over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. I kind of just removed myself from public places, really, and just kind of hid out and self-medicated for a long time. And like I said, it almost cost me my life, but I realized I was trying to kill the
numb the pain.
I wasn't trying to physically kill myself. I was trying to get rid of that past person, you know, because that shame is, you don't know what to do with it. And you're reminded of it every single day, which is why, like on my social media, I just blast myself all the time to let other people know, like, you know, these things are possible to overcome and move on from. But you gotta address them first.
Right. Yeah. And it's real. Right. It's real. Yeah. And often people, when they hear about people, you know, one getting to the point where they don't want to live, they think, oh, my goodness, that's so selfish. They think about their family. Well, at that moment, the person is so much in pain that they're trying to find a way out. Sometimes because they feel like if I'm being here is causing so many problems to everybody else, maybe if I'm not here, you know, things will be different. Yeah. And so people, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the biggest thing I try to share with people that are going through mental health issues, because I was admitted to mental institutions on meds for a while, so I had to keep going to that place, and you fill out the same questionnaire and to somebody that's in that position, and they ask you every single time, do you feel like hurting yourself? If somebody is at rock bottom, they're always going to say no, because they're not trying to hurt themselves. They're trying to ease the pain. So that question is literally, it's one of the worst questions you can ask somebody like that. They have no desire to hurt themselves. They have a desire to eat the pain.
Yeah, and those just like also from a society standpoint, I think that's how we start criminalizing mental health. Right? Even the way we talk about it, it's like, well, she committed suicide. It's like, you know, somebody committing a crime. Whether it's completed or not, you know, we don't want anyone to lose their life, no matter what they've done or what they've been through. So maybe if we start reframing it to like they died by suicide, they attempted suicide.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It takes out honestly the criminal side of it. Yeah. People are get to that point, like you said, they hit rock bottom and they're trying for a way out because the pain is so great. It's so just so deep that like I can't see a way out of this. It's not because they want to, like you say, you know, hurt themselves. They just want to ease the pain. And sometimes when you're in that mental space, you know, if not, the right chemicals are not flowing through your head at that point, you know, so you cannot think clearly. You're like, what's the easiest way to get out of here, out of this? So I don't have to live it. So if we see it from that standpoint, it should call us to more compassion rather than to, you know, victimizing and re-traumatizing people who experience that. And I'm like you, I've had suicide ideation, you know, and I know it's not easy. You know, today I do what I do because I've been there, right? And just like you find a deeper purpose and meaning in the things that you go through, and you don't want somebody else to have to deal with that. You don't want somebody else to have to answer those questions, like, you know, in that way. Yes, we want to keep people alive, but how can we reframe that? How can we change that? Do you have to ask people if they're satisfied with their life rather than do you want to hurt yourself?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's people still extremely close to me that have let me know that suicide is very selfish, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm not here to change their opinion. I'm just here to help people that are in that situation.
Yeah. And sometimes people don't understand. I remember when, so I've been admitted, just like you, I know, Sherry, I've been admitted to a psychiatric hospital. And I was, this was maybe, oh my goodness, 15 years ago. And I was seeing a counselor that put me on new medication that didn't agree with me. So the reverse effect, like if you need meds, you need meds. Don't get me wrong. You know, I know there's place and time for it, but they put me medication that made me more depressed than actually helping. And so at that moment, I didn't want to be there. And I'm like, well, I don't want to live, but yes, I don't want to die. You know, and that's a reality. People don't, unless you've been there, you don't get it, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember holding the big bottle of the same antidepressant. Like, I just don't want to be here. This hurts so much. I just want to be done. Yeah. And I called my therapist and she's like, get yourself to the ER quickly as you can. And you'll call 911 if you have to. I drove myself up like, well, because internally there was no driving me or dying, but just the thoughts were so strong that, you know, thank God I had someone to call, you know, I could talk about it. long story short, I, you know, ended up, you know, in the psychiatric hospital for a week, because again, when you're suicidal, you know, like, you know, like, you know, you have to be under watch, which I get it. So I come out of that, some people who meant well, someone who was like, just like family to me, closer to me more than my own blood relatives.
Yeah.
When I got out of there, she told me, you're the one that made those friends. You're the one that wanted to do that. I'm like, wow, is that how you see mental health? Then you have not understood nothing about it. And then it's someone who knew me, you know, in and out of my crises, right? And you can see that I'm someone who is so full of life and I want to live and do great things. But because of that incident, those are the exact words she used. You're the one who made those friends. I'm like, I made a friend. Like, literally. It's almost like I was trying to get attention. No, I was called for help. And I called for help, literally. Yeah. You know, and
thank God you did.
Right. And people don't see it that way. So I'm glad that people like you and I educating, like having this conversation to like, hey, we need to start talking about this. If we start seeing mental health as part of health, just like, you know, we won't shame someone for having cancer. We won't shame someone for having diabetes, even if they ate all the sugar they did.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Think about it. Yes, we talk about all this health stuff and how the obesity rate is so high in the U.S. I am overweight, so I'm not here to shame anybody. But my point that I'm trying to make here, people will shame me and others for having a mental illness more than they'll shame me for being overweight.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, it makes me nervous for other people that aren't quite progressed to the point that I am. Because, like, I make social media posts about narcissism and how to avoid narcissism, et cetera, and people will still accuse me of being a narcissist for calling myself out, and they'll try to tell me that narcissists can't change. And so, I mean, like, we don't talk to alcoholics like that. We don't talk to drug addicts like that. You wouldn't tell them every day that they can't change. So, like, that's why I'm trying to spread as much awareness as possible for people. You know, there's hope, there's progress. Just takes a little process, because we don't want people telling them that they're never going to change based off something that they right. some trauma they didn't process who they are.
And that's where we don't see, like, you know, when people do things, often we go, no, what's wrong with them? You know, how can they do this? If we become more trauma informed, I do a lot of work, you know, work around trauma and training and stuff. And when we become trauma informed, with the question should, you know, often change, should change. It's not what's wrong with them, it's what happened to them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now we're talking so much about, you know, narcissism and how everybody out there is narcissistic, right? And they never change the personality disorder and all of that. There's some truth, but that's not the whole truth.
Yeah.
Right. Some people got there like you because of trauma, and that became the way you how the brain told you to protect yourself. If you think about it, after trauma, all of us see the world as an unsafe place. Yeah. It's danger. It's red lights everywhere. So you do whatever you can to be safe. Exactly. And some of us do unhealthy things to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, we won't blame the person who's drinking to numb the pain. Yes, so that's not good. But they won't get all the heat that you get for saying, oh, at one point in my life, I was a narcissist. They won't get that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're actually sharing that is saying, hey, deal with your trauma so you don't get to where I was.
That's exactly right. Like, I can literally remember the last traumatic experience that literally changed me, where I was like, I'm going to look out for myself from now on, and I don't care about anybody else's well-being unless I'm taken care of. Enough's enough.
So we have to talk. I want to do another episode just on narcissism, because I think people need to see it from the other side.
Absolutely, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Oh goodness, we definitely have to talk more. So how can people connect with you? How can they get on that life activation plan? You know, how can they support what you're doing?
They can go to DerekNewborn.com. There's tons of information on there. Facebook, just look me up, Derek Newborn. My Instagram is DNewborn. I keep it super personal and friendly on my social media platform. So you can definitely just send me a message. And I'll get back to you directly. Or like I said, DerekNewborn.com has tons of information on there. And then I also have the Newborn Blueprint, which is specifically for men and overcoming shame. So DerekNewborn.com, the Newborn Blueprint.com, Facebook, Derek Newborn, Instagram, DNewborn.
Awesome.
Feel free to reach out.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for all, not just being here, for all that you do, especially, you know, helping men deal with shame. That's something we don't talk about, right?
It's I know.
Men have to be strong. You have to be the alpha man and you don't have any feelings. That is not healthy. So it's good to have men like you telling others, yes, shame is real. You know, yes, you know, self-protecting behaviors are real, and it, you know, but you, it can be better. When you want to change, you seek out for help, and just like you did, and you change, and now you're helping others change. Talk about that resilience there, right? What could have crushed you became literally where, you know, catapults you into what you're doing today.
Yeah. And if I can get through it, I promise any other man or woman can.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Yes, everyone watching and listening, just know, like he said, if you know we can go for it, you can too. That no matter what it is that you're dealing with right now in this moment, in this season, it's not the end of you. You know, help is available. And the more you push forward, the more you can leap into the next season. All right, be well.